It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I actually looked into it. I cannot get rid of that voice unless I have more than 100 licenses.
The voice is, when he presses record, we both hear a voice that says recording in progress.
And normally it scares the shit out of me, although I am starting to get you. This time I knew it was coming. and then when we're done, it's like recording stopped.
Yep.
All right. I want to talk about something that initially I think you will relate very well to, and then you will not relate well to at all. So the part I think you will relate very well to is the concept that sometimes you like know things and like could give a basic explanation of what's going on. Frequently, this is a thing where it's the motivations of people that aren't you, and like you know in practice why they do what they do, but then something happens in your life that like then you know, like you get it. I've had that with a lot of experiencing prejudice in various like times where it's like I understand about institutional sexism, and then something happens and I'm like, holy shit, now like this gave me a better picture of like what that really must be like, kind of thing. I've talked before about the time I was the like one of three white people on a very full Greyhound bus, and it felt very uncomfortable, and I was like, holy shit, this is what it's like all the time. That kind of thing. I feel like this is something you could relate to, because you frequently don't understand things.
Right.
But can still explain them.
Yeah.
But the specific example here, I don't know that you're going to relate to, because it was very weird. I now have a better sort of understanding of the motivations and the desires and why one would want to be an internet troll. I always thought I sort of got it, but like now I get it. And it has to do with Twitter. And those of you who follow me on Twitter may already know some of what's going on here, because I tweeted about it. And it has to do with a very funny comedian by the name of Jen Kirkman. Do you know Jen Kirkman?
No.
Jen Kirkman is very funny. She's got at least one Netflix special. She's been around for quite a while. We followed her. Trish and I both have been fans of hers for quite a while. Back in the day, she was on Chelsea Lately sometimes. She was on At Midnight several times, things like that. And yeah, she's had good specials, good stuff. I like her, fan of hers. I follow her on Twitter.
Okay.
I mostly follow comedians on Twitter, and frequently what happens is I think of a comedian I want to follow and I follow them, and then later they like or reply to a different comedian, and I'm like, oh shit, I should follow them. And so like through that I got her a while back. I've been following her, and lately her tweets have seemed unhappy with Twitter and people on Twitter and things people say and so forth. The usual, like, you know, you know how Twitter, social media, and humanity as a whole are garbage? And like every once in a while, like you just get really fed up with it and like, ah. And I feel like she's been there lately, based on her tweets. And I've been feeling a little bit bad for her. But anyway, recently, yesterday, I believe, she tweets a thing talking about how it's ridiculous to, as a fan or as a civilian, I guess, to tell a professional comedian you're not funny, because that's part of their job. Like, they already, every comedian who's been in at any length has bombed in front of like large groups of people and things like this, and get to, like, they understand this. And it's weird to say, because you all, I mean, you don't go around telling them, I believe the example she uses, like, you're not a musician or you're not a cult leader. So why would you, it doesn't register for comedians. So it's a silly thing to say. And I don't know why I felt the need to reply. And I replied and I was like, come on, you can be two things. You're a very funny comedian and also could be a very good cult leader. And, you know, I thought it was cute. I'm a very charming individual. You know, I thought it was adorable. Often when a celebrity tweets something, how I decide if I'm going to tweet back is how many replies there already are. Because if there's like 3 or 4, I'm like, they might read it. If there's like 80, I'm like, yeah, I'm just, you know, one of many voices. But there weren't that many, so I sent this. Very soon, like before I was done looking at Twitter right then, and I don't spend a lot of time on it, she replied directly to me and said, yeah, this wasn't about me or something that happened to me. This was a general comment about fans and comedians. Which I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't know either way, but I did, like, the way it was written, that makes sense. And so I replied again, and this is all, none of this is DMs or anything, because she doesn't follow me. And I was like, I get that. And it was a point well made. And I understand it. I also feel like you've been very tense on Twitter, yes, lately, parentheses, justifiably. And I just thought it would be helpful for you to be reminded that there's a bunch of us out here who still think you're hilarious. Also, I think you should start a cult. And she didn't reply to that, which, you know, makes sense. But later that day, she replied in thread to her own tweet, a general thing about, like, this wasn't something about me. It was a joke. Like, I'm not having problems with this or whatever. This is just a thing. I'm like, okay, great. She very pointedly didn't send that to me, which means it may have been a broader, maybe other people have been saying anything, whatever, left it be. Now, at this point, I want to talk about what I've done. Because I realize in hindsight, to put it in perspective, Kyle Kinane, another comedian I really like and also follow on Twitter, has also been having this problem. Like, he's been very getting a lot of shit on Twitter that he does not like and replying about it and stuff, and seem very, and I've also been very concerned about him. I have not, however, replied to any of his stuff or anything like that. So why, I hear me ask myself, did you feel the need to do that with Jen and not with Kyle? And I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't do it with Kyle because, and then I have to stop and think about it for quite a while. And finally come to the thing that, oh, it's an internalized sexism thing. I have a chivalric vibe. I need to protect Jen. She's, you know, bad. People are being mean to her. She feels bad. I want to make her, like, with Kyle, he's a big boy. He can handle it. And so it's bullshit. And in general, it was probably not a good idea for me to send these things. That did not, however, at the time, stop me when she sent that general one from replying to it and saying, so no cult? Damn. And she didn't reply to that, as she should have. Because at this point, I'm just annoying. And that's what I think it is. In the grand scheme of this adventure, I don't think she was mad at me. I certainly don't think I gave her any sense of perspective or comfort or, you know, any of the nice stuff I might have been attempting to do. I suspect I was annoyed. not severely annoying, but somewhat annoying. Not enough that she'll remember the experience, you know, the next day, but I feel like I probably was annoying. Today, I see she replied to that tweet. And that reply was, nope, not starting a cult. But if you, and she turned it in, she spun it into a ad for her podcast and her Patreon, which is clever, I think. Because what is a Patreon, but, you know, a sort of chilled out, low level financial cult. So I think this was handy, and I'm a big fan of the Patreon model and of Patreon. I hope to have one someday. First, I need something to be patronized. But I like that. So all this finishes today, and I'm like, man, I feel like I annoyed her. But my big takeaway from it is, holy shit, like two and arguably three tweet. I got direct tweets from Jen Kirkman. Like, she talked to me. That's so awesome. And I'm like, yeah, she talked to me in a faceless void because I was kind of annoying. But I'm still just like, she talked to me. That's so cool because Jen Kirkman's awesome. And she's a big famous person and all this. And it's really cool that, like, she responded to me. And I'm suddenly like, oh, that's what the trolls are about. It's a larger manifestation of the whole I pulled your pigtails at recess because I like you kind of thing. If I'm really shitty to the celebrities, it'll get their attention and they'll notice me. Now, this is still a terrible thing. I don't think I should have done what I did. I certainly don't think intentional internet trolls should do what they do, but I get it. I feel like I understand where they're coming from, because I am just dizzyingly happy that, like, hey, that was fun. And I always notice that whenever, like, an actual famous person, like, likes a thing of mine or replies to it or whatever, and frequently it goes poorly. Frequently I tweet something that I think is, like, funny or clever or in relation to them, and they reply in a way that shows they definitely thought it was, they took it very differently than I meant it. Not always bad or good, but, like, they're on a separate level from what I thought I was doing. And it's always disappointing there, but I'm always like, ah, they responded. That's so cool. I'm still happy to this day that for years, Guy Branum has followed me on Twitter. I'm pretty sure that's because there was a period in his life where if people followed him or replied to his stuff, he followed them back, and still does, and just doesn't. Like, I don't think he checks through. I don't think he scrolls through a feed of people he follows. I don't think he's ever seen one of my tweets that doesn't involve him. But I still love that, like, he follows. In theory, if I wanted to immediately get unfollowed and or blocked, I could DM him one time. I've got this weird starfucker thing in me, and I don't like it about me, because I think the cult of celebrity is terrible, but I feel it. Like, when it's like a famous person that I think is cool, like, said something or did anything in response to a thing I did. Like, I just love that. So I get where the trolls are coming from. Still shouldn't do it. It's not good. Makes people feel bad, but I understand. You got anything to say to that?
Nope.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world where the real podcast was the friends we made along the way. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 556.
556?
536.
All right. Are you doing 20 episodes without me?
No, I told
myself. I mean, I don't know that I'd have a problem, but
I told myself I wasn't going to make that mistake. Of course, that's what made me make that mistake. 500. Yeah.
I have told you many times, don't talk with that guy. I said, William, don't talk with William. It's a bad influence.
He is.
Boy like that would kill your brother.
536.
Forget that boy. 536.
536. Sorry.
536. I guess I should explain how the show works, because I don't know that it's going to work this way for much longer, so we should get into this. So, your camera has frozen just on the start of a chuckle, I think. So your eyes are closed, and it looks like you're smelling something bad, but enjoying it. It's gone now, but it was a good moment. You looked weirdly like Robin Williams for a second. I don't know what it was. Anyway, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And all of the wonderful people out there, and you could be included too. If you're not, be included. I'm not sure that parsed out correctly, but you get it. People, good people, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. The people who are stuck with it, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is the vast majority. But that may not continue much longer. Because, as we've seen, the people have spoken. And the people are almost unanimous in their desire for us to change formats. The one exception being Azure Talon, who I think is still in favor of the format change, but is a coward and doesn't want to be able to have to take any of the blame if it doesn't go well. So he's very much like, you should do what you want to do. So that later, when this format change is horrible, and I'm like, how could you people say this was okay? And Coffee will be like, I didn't know. I thought it would work. And Craig will be like, how did you get this number? And Beth will be like, it's still better than that bullshit you were putting on me before. Azure Talent can be like, dude, I just told you to do what you want to do. It's nothing to do with me. I am nothing. Because he's a coward and also a drug dealer, I hear. Allegedly. Okay. So watch out for him. But everybody else unanimously either thinks we should change the format or absolutely does not give a shit. One of those two. So the eyes have it, I think, unless you've got a strong opinion, which I've never known you to have. I think that's what's going to happen. So here's how I propose we roll this shit out. First, effective immediately, when this episode drops, not when you listen to it, when it drops, all emails coming into the hat from that point on will be subjected to the new format. All emails before that time will be subjected to the old format. And in agreement with the hat via our Lovecraftian cosmic telepathic link, the hat will spit out, poop out, transmogrify out all of the old ones into itself. And we will do it how we've always done until we are out of those. And then we will begin a new format in which the hat will email me things as it is wont to do, and I will forward them to William as I, based on the vagaries of my mood, and we can take turns reading them out. And the more I think about this, the more excited I am about this, because I feel like this gives a much better interactive quality. Our listeners at this point have earned something. There are not many of them. Literally dozens of people have fallen by the wayside over the last decade. But these proud few with time to kill and no reason to leave and apparently no place to go, have stuck with us through thick and thin and real thin and just paper thin and barely a podcast. And I feel like they have earned a higher place of honor within our community, because currently it's me, Trish, and then the cats, and then way down from there, you, and then the listeners. And I feel like the listeners should be elevated to somewhere around the range of the cats.
Sure.
You can stay down there, but I feel like they should be around the... If people aren't watching in YouTube, they're going to think I have a soundboard that's just like William sighing and saying a couple of single words, because we're almost 15 minutes in and you have not said a sentence except that weird shit about what number it was. I'm getting why my brother says, does William ever talk? But I feel like this gives them a much more interactive capability, because in the past it's been like, send us your questions and we will maul, spindle, fold, mutilate them into whatever the hell we feel like talking about. And this, I feel like, gives them more power to be like, here's what I was getting at. Here's why I think this is interesting. Here's why I want you guys to talk about it. And I think they deserve that. So I feel like we should give them that. Again, unless you have a strong feeling against, but again, don't know you're capable of that.
I don't have a strong feeling against
that. All right. Do you have a strong feeling for it?
I mean, everything you just said sounds really good.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's like campaign promises. I don't have any idea if it's going to go that way. But vote for me and we'll find out. So that's going to be coming. Everybody get excited. Now, right now, pause the podcast. Get excited. Do a little dance. Jump around. Come back. So how's your week been, Mr. Man? That's what I call my cat.
I don't really have anything to report. Just working.
School done yet?
No.
You don't have too much longer though, right?
This class is 10 weeks and this week was the 7th week.
Yeah, you're getting close then. All right.
Yeah.
Surely you must have watched things.
Not really. Abby started playing Dark Alliance last night.
Yeah, I saw she was. What is her feeling on that? I'm very curious.
Well, I mean, she didn't play it for very long, first of all. Second of all, it was a little confusing as to how it worked to save your progress. It was a little confusing. So she had a lot of starting the level over when that didn't need to be the case. She could have, there were some places that she could have saved her progress, but you have an option in these places to save your progress.
So it's not an autosave. Okay.
And you can choose to save your progress, but if you don't, you get some, there's an incentive for you not to, like you get some kind of loot or something if you don't.
Oh my. So
at first she was not saving her progress and just taking this reward or whatever. And I don't think she didn't realize for a while what she was doing. I mean, she thought she was just making a choice. And then she realized, oh, I see. This is the reason I have to start this level over every time, is because I didn't choose to save my progress in these places. But when you make that choice, that's it. You can never, you start over. You're never going to be given that option again. So, So I think from now on, she'll just save her progress that doesn't happen. Also, before you start a level, you choose what difficulty you want. And there's like 10 difficulties and they tell you what you get for picking a difficulty. Like, you'll get this many points, you'll get this much loot, you know, the more difficult you...
Like an MMO.
the higher the difficulty you pick, the more stuff you're going to get out of it. Of course, the harder it's going to be.
Yeah.
So that's been interesting because she's never played a game that did that before. And she is playing it on like the second to the bottom difficulty because she wants some of the goodies, you know, but also it's harder, you know, it's harder than she's used to because she usually plays a game on the easiest level because she doesn't play a game to learn controls and stuff. Yeah. She just wants to play and have fun. She doesn't want to master the controller or whatever, but she liked the goodies they were promising. So she decided to play on that. And there's only, you know, like the other Dark Alliance games, there's only four preset characters. And in this case, only one of them is female, which I don't understand why, you know, four characters.
In this case, they very specifically are pulling, these are existing characters. And so I think that's some of it.
That's true. From like a series of books or whatever. What's his name? The guy that writes with the
R.A. Salvatore. Yeah, Drizdorden.
Yeah, and he's a character you can play, which I don't care about that. But so she's playing that female character, and there's none of the characters are in a magic class. I mean, you know, everyone has some kind of spell thing they do, but none of them are like wizards or like, you know, they're all in a class which I think is strange because it seems like the Dark Alliance games would always have at least one magic class character. But anyway, so she's playing this character and I think she likes her and she likes the game more or less. When we saw the previews of it, we thought the graphics looked not great, but when you start playing it, you kind of get used to it's not that the graphics are bad. It's more that they sort of picked a style. They're going for a particular kind of look. It's not a very aesthetically pleasing look, but it is, you can tell that it's not bad graphics. It's just,
it's intentional design. Yeah.
Yeah. They went with this. This was a style choice. And when you get used to it, it's fine.
There's a pull quote for the box.
But you know,
when you get used to it, it's fine, says William of the Daily Wife Games.
It's kind of hard to watch because it's one of those games that does not have a very I don't think it has any set camera.
Oh, it's always moving around.
You always have to move the camera to where you want it, which means if you're watching someone else play, you know, it's all over the place. So it's not that easy to watch. But I mean, there's cool stuff. When she did the tutorial section, the stuff the character was doing was really cool. And she was like learning the moves really fast. So that was pretty neat. And it feels kind of like Dark Alliance, I guess. It's, you know, it's very different, but you know, somehow it still sort of feels kind of like those games. So I think she's going to enjoy playing it. One of the reasons we got it, though, was because they've said that after the initial release, and I don't know how long it's going to be, but they're going to have a couch co-op.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. I might get it when that happens.
So that was the real draw. Although the article I saw said they were going to split screen, but I don't see why they have to do that. And I hope they don't, but it doesn't matter. Either way, we'll play it together. I don't really like, I don't feel an affinity for any of the characters that are left that I could play, but I mean, I'll pick one and we'll play it together and that'll be fun because, you know, we loved playing the Baldur's Gate Dark
Alliance game. Loved 100%, same with us. We played both of them, loved them. And I was real excited when I heard about this, except I saw an advanced review a while back and they're like, yeah, it's not necessarily a bad game, but all the things that you liked about the originals, they don't have that.
Yeah, and I have a feeling
they have that, other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling that'll be mostly true. But again, you know, for me watching, and I think for her playing, it was like, no, this is okay. I mean, I think once we're both playing it, it'll even just the fact that we're both playing the game. Because we played Champions of Norrath too, and it was very similar. And we liked playing it, but I mean, we preferred the Baldur's Gate games, but it was like,
I think us as well.
It was like, yeah, we can play both of these franchises and they kind of feel the same and they're fun. And then when we played Diablo 3, it kind of gave us that nostalgic sort of feel.
Because that's the thing. I'm like, we should just play Diablo 3 again. It sounds like it'd be just fine.
So this is very different, but I think it'll be fun once we can play it together.
I'll be very curious how that comes through.
Well, maybe I'll give you updates on it.
You caught up on Loki?
Yeah, I still like what Tom Hiddleston's doing. Like, for three episodes, you know, there's always these moments where he's doing something. I'm like, I don't know. I like what he's doing with character. I like that character moment or whatever. But this episode as a whole, I wasn't that impressed with.
Oh, no. Even Trish wasn't. And this officially, we've discussed before, and I have a friend who is in a similar thing, where I'm like, everybody loves this show, and I'm like, it's fine. I don't love it. I like it fine, but I don't love it like everybody else seems to love it. This has officially tipped me into not quite liking it. I'm still going to watch it, but and part of it was I don't think this was a good episode, and the other people seem to be agreeing with that too. But this episode also made me realize things I don't like about the show as a whole.
Hmm.
And there's a big one. I'm going to talk about it now.
Okay.
Weirdly, it's incredibly similar to one of the main problems I have with the Lucifer show. So, all right. I feel both the podcast and my argument are strengthened if we make this more interactive. So I'm going to give you a shot here to be involved. And I think this is a layup. I should be able to toss this to you and you should be able to deal with it in a way that helps me, but you're only getting one chance. And if you fuck this up, I'm just taking it back and I'll just say my own piece here. So get this right. All right. So if you were in a situation where you were, somebody's like, I want you to, using single word adjectives, tell me the most significant and important and generalized descriptions of MCU's Loki character. What sort of adjectives would you use? What's your top two or three adjectives of the personality, not physicality or anything, but like what they do, who they are, how they think, what personality traits they have? Again, I feel like this is not hard, but so help me if you can't pull this out here. Come on.
I don't think that they've been very even with their portrayal of Loki, because they've done the whole anti-hero thing with him a little bit. But when they're not doing that, he's a pretty standard, straightforward. I mean, he's a tyrant and like an almost a devil character, which the show's bringing out. And that's basically it. But now, then they have this thing where he's got this thing with his mom and stuff like that, and they bring that out in the show too.
Now, this went worse than I was afraid. Not only did you totally fumble, you proved you don't know what the phrase one word or the term adjective means
What I'm proving is I don't think you think you have some one absolutely word adjective descriptions?
Okay, 100%. 100%.
I don't.
And you're going to agree with me, or I think you lose your citizenship because you're going to be so wrong. I think we don't let you vote anymore on this. I'm going to go with clever, deceptive, persuasive, charming or cunning. These are Loki's things. He lies to people, he fools people, and he convinces people of stuff. That's his whole deal.
I guess.
That's what he is. Yes. And we know this mostly because Tom Hiddleston is amazing and because we're told this. But in the MCU, we largely just see the effects afterward. Like, because a movie doesn't last for a long time in story. So, like, we show up and Loki has formulated this plan or whatever. This TV show is the first time Loki's just, like, living his Loki life. And he's incredibly bad at deceiving people. He's not very clever, and he doesn't know how to be persuasive at all.
But do you think that's different than how he's portrayed in the MCU generally?
I do, but again, I think they got away with it because in the MCU, he's the villain of a movie and he's devised this whole plan. So we didn't watch him do it, but it's already done and he's already convinced these people and made this happen and stuff like that. This time we're actually watching him do stuff and he's very bad at it.
I guess
they got the arrogance thing right. He definitely thinks he's as good as he's always thought he was good.
Yeah.
But he's shitty at his whole deal.
I guess I felt like in the MCU that was true also, but maybe not.
Well, I don't know. If it is, then his character makes no sense because he would never have been able to have a fraction of the success he's had in any endeavor ever if he's really this bad at convincing people of things and charming people of things. No, and after centuries, I would think he would have clued in.
Yeah,
or just fucking gotten better.
I guess.
Like, nobody can try to lie to people as much and as long as he has and been that bad at lying. And I think it's so that we as an audience can feel cool. But I don't feel cool that I saw through his bit because his bit was the fucking elementary school try and trick you out of your best baseball cards bullshit. Like, he's bad and he's not charming. He could not convince me to make myself a peanut butter sandwich if I was hungry for peanut butter. Like, he's so bad at it. And it's the same. Remember when I used to talk about Lucifer? And Lucifer's whole thing is that he knows how humanity works and how to get to them. And he's good at, like, charming people into shit. And Lucifer on Lucifer is really stupid and doesn't get humans. This is the exact same problem. The character of Loki, as they have chosen to explain him, does not match the character of Loki that I'm seeing on the screen. And I think you are right. I think the MCU in general has not done a great job of it. But again, it can be forgiven because in most things, we know he's smart because we show up and he's done all this stuff already. He's raised an army. He's convinced people to follow him. He's done all this shit. We didn't watch it happen, but he did it. So therefore, he's successful at it. Now I'm watching him and I'm like, how? Fucking how?
Yeah.
This guy couldn't convince me to drink my own water in the desert. Like, he's really bad at it. And once again, the show is relying a lot on some one-on-one chemistry, and Loki and Sylvie do not have chemistry. They're trying. They're both clearly very good performances. It's not fitting.
Well, I mean, the show, one of the weaknesses from the get-go has been they're talking about Loki being all these things, but they're not showing him being any of those things. But to me, the films were that way too. I mean, they talked about him being these things, but I don't remember really seeing him be them.
Yes.
Although you're right, there were times
we didn't see him trying to be those things for the most part.
Yeah.
So we could give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
now the TV show is telling us how awesome he is at these things, and we're watching him do these things. And he is the antithesis of awesome at these things.
Yeah.
And people in the show even say that to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they do.
I'm like, this is the only thing. I'm desperately trying apologetics in my brain. Because, again, I love Hiddleston and I love his performance of this character. And I've always had fun with this character. So I'm trying really hard. And the best I can do is something about the nature of this variant and when he left the main timeline has made him sucky at things. And I don't know how exactly, but I'm telling myself that, like, Loki Prime is still good at this shit. And something about the variant in the TV show isn't. but he's just so shitty at his whole deal. And I don't like that. Also, this episode really proved that it's going to be like WandaVision in that this is just a Marvel movie that they're slicing into 8 or 9 pieces. Because there was so much shit happening in this episode that Trish is like, I don't need to see this. I'm like, yeah, but if you were in the theater and this was a scene in the movie, it would make sense that it was here. There was a lot of very expensive shots that nobody fucking needed in this episode.
Yeah, including one at the end that was supposed to be one long shot. And I think it was supposed to be impressive.
Right?
But
right?
It was not impressive at all.
No.
They really did it poorly. They did it so poorly.
It was, I mean, it looked very expensive, but not very good. It was very like, wow, you guys rented a big soundstage and you guys put a lot of shit in it that did a lot of things. And I don't care. Especially because it's one of those where it's like threatening things. And I'm like, yeah, this episode's going to end with them dying. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I mean, long takes can be cool and fun, but you've got to put them in the right place and you've got to do them the right way. And if
you got to have a fucking reason for them.
Yeah. If you don't, they just look dumb. And sometimes the actors aren't up to it or something. Like, you know, you can tell they're waiting for the camera to move to the next place before they do whatever they do. And it's not supposed to look like that. You know, you're not supposed to see the actor waiting for the camera to get to its cue so they can go do whatever they're doing. It just looks dumb.
Yeah, no, so, there was a lot of like I could almost hear in my head the director during that scene.
Yeah, you really.
Okay. Yeah. Cut right. Okay. Now drop the rocks. Okay. Now light flash. Okay. Like I could hear it because it was so.
Yeah.
And I was like, and we don't need this.
Just watch.
We know how this bit is going to end with them not dead. Like, why are we? Yeah. No, it was. I'm being very disappointed. I'm still going to watch it. The story is still interesting to me. I still have fun watching Hiddles hiddle it up. But it's not that good. Meanwhile, however, if we hop over to HBO Max crushing it right now for us. We're watching a lot of shit over there. We're still loving Legendary. Legendary's awesome. I realized recently, I am so glad Trish and I watch it alone. Because we turn into the most shallow, most white, most culturally appropriating people you've ever seen in your life while that show is going on. We yell slang at the TV that honestly we don't know what it means. We get we literally pause the episode and get real in depth about each performance and the critique as though we know shit about how this works. We get very, very into it, and it's an absolute blast to do, and I don't ever want other people to see us doing it. I would be horribly embarrassed.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Legendary. I've talked about this. Legendary is a reality TV show about the ballroom community.
Oh, yeah.
And they have all these houses, and they do all these ballroom routines, and they get judged, and somebody gets kicked off. It's the standard Project Runway reality show model, but this one's about ballroom, which we aren't experts in, but we get all about experts in it, and say things like come through bitch to the screen and stuff like that. So I'm just really glad nobody sees, but it's really fun and I highly recommend it. And then I was gone one night and Trish watched the TV show, and she shouldn't do that. Because she's like, I don't know that's very good, but it was weirdly compelling. And then last night she's like, if you can give me an hour, I want you to watch this. I'll watch it over again. I think you should. I don't think you're going to like it, she said, but I want you to watch this. And I watched it and I'm upset because I shouldn't like it. And on paper, I really shouldn't like it, but it's strangely compelling and I'm going to keep watching it for now. It's a show called Warrior. It has 2 seasons currently on HBO Max. It is a Cinemax series, which Cinemax is owned by HBO. And it is a martial arts Western, I guess, is what we're going to say. It is the story of a man who can kick all of the ass with his martial arts skills, coming from China to San Francisco in 1878 and ending up as one of the enforcers for an organized crime syndicate within San Francisco. Doesn't sound appealing. And the show has only, I believe, three characters, and there's a cast of dozens, and I've only seen three people in the whole thing who are not either Chinese or Irish. The show has a lot of racist shit in it, mostly against the Irish more than the Chinese, which is weird. And the show is just entirely racism and macho dick measuring, which are two things that I hate almost above all other things in television. But it's weirdly compelling, and I don't know why. Trish's theory is it's not a parody, it's not a comedy, but it absolutely knows how ridiculous it is. Like, the whole thing is just so, and the spaghetti Western music plays, and they get these weird funk tracks during the fight scenes and all this, and it's just everybody in it is so stupid and nothing makes sense, but it's just it's a really well realized, if I'm sure super unrealistic, world they define of Chinatown in San Francisco in the late 1800s, and it's just fucking ridiculous. And it's because I asked her, I was like, why do we want to watch this show and we didn't want to watch Into the Badlands? Because I feel like they're the same show. And she's like, because Into the Badlands took itself seriously. And I'm like, that is a good point. So, I mean, I guess people check it out if you like martial arts and Westerns, both which I do, and things that know they're ridiculous. Is weirdly entertaining. It's the kind of show you're definitely going to talk through and make fun of, but is fun. So you check that out. There's also a show on HBO Max called, I don't know, it's something about Michael Che. If you search for Michael Che, it's called like I Hate Michael Che or Fuck You Michael Che, That Damn, I think it might be That Damn Michael Che. And it's a sketch comedy show that he made. He wrote, I should say, because I've discovered Michael Che is a stand-up comedian and a sketch comedy writer. He is not a sketch comedy player, which is why on SNL, you never see him in any of the sketches. You just see him on Weekend Update. Because even on this show, there's a lot of sketches, but he's never in any of them except when he's playing himself in some of them, but none of the others. But it's not, here's the thing, it's not funny. The show is not funny, which is a bad sign for a sketch comedy show. We watched the first episode and were very unhappy, but the first episode was about the police. And I'm not sure I'm at a point where I'm ready to laugh about that stuff. So I was like, maybe that's why. Let's watch a second episode. And we did watch a second episode. And I was way less uncomfortable than I was in the first one. But it's still not funny. And my wife, being a reasonable person, is like, I'm done. And me, on the other hand, I'm like, I think I need to watch it for some weird anthropological reason. Because, like, it's not funny. But I'm kind of fascinated by the unfunniness of it. And I want to look more into that. And also, the whole thing only has, like, six episodes, and they're, like, 20 minutes long. So, whatever. Oh, and there's another show, and you might actually like this one. I see. Those of you who aren't watching the video version, William just gave me the most disbelieving look I've ever seen him give. He gave me a look that said, I will give you my house if it turns out you're right. That's how confident I am. You will not be. But listen up, because I think you might. It's one my wife found and just said, let's watch this tonight. And I'm like, we've got a backlog of TV shows. Why do you want to watch this? She's like, we don't have to. But then I'm like, well, fine, whatever, we'll watch it. So it's called Beforeigners. Little portmanteau there, before foreigners, Beforeigners. It is a Norwegian maid show. It is set in the not too distant future. Very soon from now, one day, across the world, these flashes of light happen in the ocean, and people manifest there. And all of these people come from the 19th century, the time of the Viking raiders and stuff, or the Stone Age. These three time periods. And they show up, and they don't know why, and nobody knows why, and it's still happening several years later. And our show takes place in Oslo, Norway, and deals with the police and doing this. And we're now in a situation where it's essentially they are treated as refugees. They are called Beforeigners. They are also called Timeagrants by some people. And our show in particular deals with a police officer who has a drug issue and the partner he has recently been forced to have, who is the first ever Beforeigner to actually pass the police academy. She is a Norse woman. And she actually passed the police academy and now works for the police. And they are investigating a particular crime thing that's going to involve the foreigners and conspiracies and shit like that. Okay. The show is very Norwegian and does not make allowances for that. There was an entire subplot in the first episode involving the police guy's daughter wanting to pay for her Rusbus and not having the money because her mother denied the transfer of the bank funds because they don't approve of the Rusbus she associated herself with. And Trish and I are both like, what the fuck is a Rusbus? And we look it up and it has shades of Rumspringa. Apparently it's a thing high school seniors do in Norway, or maybe in Scandinavian countries as a whole, I don't know. And they get party buses and they basically go celebrate for like a weekend or whatever. But we didn't know. And they never explained shit about it. It was just a given. I really like it and I'm excited to watch more. Trish, who picked it out, was a little less enthusiastic because she says it takes effort to watch. And what it mostly comes down to is she foolishly, she admits, for some reason thought it would be in English. And it is not. It is in Norwegian. But it's a cool idea. The way they're playing with it is very interesting so far. I like it. And it's only one season. It's only like six episodes. So you could all check it out if you want to. So Beforeigners. So there you go. You do like it. Give me your house. You're just giving me a whole vibe of like, you don't want, this has been the last couple of weeks. Is this podcast not going the way you want this podcast to go? You've seemed like really not into this the last couple of weeks.
No, it's, I mean, there are technological limitations that, you know, I can't like really interrupt whatever you're saying or add anything to it. Or if I try it, you know, it doesn't work. So I find myself having to, and sometimes sometimes I know I'm freezing up or you're freezing up. It's like, there's this whole other level of what's going on in the podcast besides just you talking or me talking. There's this whole technological angle that's taking up bandwidth. And it's probably, you know, I don't have very much of that bandwidth stuff. And if I get too much taken up, I kind of, you know,
are you going to have to start coming back to my house?
I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking about
that. Or will I have to start coming to your house?
Because I've been...
Because in the daytime, you won't have a car, but I...
Because you, because watching, you know, watching it later, you know, I can see, you know, not just when I'm freezing or whatever, but when I'm nothing's really happening, but I can see that I remember what I was thinking when I had a particular look on my face or when I was doing something. It's like, oh, I can't, you know, I can't really hear Tony right then, or I can't, you know, there's all this stuff going on, and it's like, it, but you know what I'm like, if too many things are going on, I can't deal with it, you know, and I sort of shut down a little bit. And I hate that about myself, but it's how it is.
Well, I don't think it's good for a podcast. So maybe we need to be switching back to functional version.
Maybe. I have been thinking about that though, because it's like, I mean, it's good. I think it's handy for you, and it's definitely handy for me to do it like this, but the technical aspect of it is hard. I mean, it is for me. It is for me. I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get into the groove of what's happening in our conversation. And I, you know, sometimes I'm too busy watching the technology mess up or whatever. So I apologize, but I just don't know what to do about it.
Well, if you all have suggestions or advice on this topic or any topic, go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us how to fix it, or tell us that we need to go back to doing it in person or whatever.
Now, I'm actually going to be getting a new laptop pretty soon, I think.
I think that could make quite a bit of difference.
So maybe we should see how that goes. And also, I might podcast from a different area of the house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's see how that goes. And I don't know when that's going to be. It might be a while, actually.
Let's keep the janky shit for, so just stick with us for like another year tops, folks. It'll be fine. I'm going to go back to tell us what you think we should do in the blog, themagicoftalkinghat.com. Cause I mean, I feel like I have been clear since the beginning. I get absolutely nothing out of this. I do this entire podcast out of a weird sense of cosmic penance. But I want it to, well, I don't want it. I think it is recommended that it be something that both William enjoys and feels involved in, and that the audience gives a shit about. And so if anyone out there has advice on how we could maximize those two things, let us know. We're big dummies and we need your help. All right, let's draw a thing.
Yeah, let's do that.
The sunsetting era of little teeny note cards pushes on. Well, this is weird as hell. And not for Magic Talent. Go figure. This is from Dave of Id.
Oh.
Listen closely, because this is a strange one. If you had to vote for one preposition to be removed from use in the English language, which one would you choose? I mean, first of all, this proves that Dave of Id hates you, because this is very specifically like a question to annoy the shit out of William. And meanwhile, I'm in a weird place. I really love this question for no good reason. I think this is probably a horrible question. And I don't think I'm going to have a good answer, but I'm super into it for some reason. Like, I really, my mind is already just like, oh my God, which one would it be? And the problem is, I mostly am just coming up with ones that are my favorites, and they're ones that are used the least often. Like, you could get around some of them. you could, I can think of ways around the use of the word despite, but I fucking love the word despite. We cannot get rid of that preposition. Things like that. Like, my favorite prepositions are the ones that are not the standard ones, but I'm like, so what? Do we get rid of like on or of, or like, that seems real dangerous. Like, I think what one I would want to get rid of is not necessarily what one would be the smartest to get rid of. What do you think? Besides, you don't know and you hate this question and you don't know how to answer it.
I don't have any beef with any particular preposition.
Right? Right? Me neither, really.
None of them bother me.
No, I feel like this is a hostage situation. I feel like I don't feel like this is a good thing. Like, in general, I'm opposed to let's take this word out of the language, unless it's a slang term I hate. But no, I think this is one where, like, you know, the terrorists have control of the nuclear arsenal and they're like, we're going to blow up everything unless you kill off one of your English prepositions. So which is it, you know?
How about underneath? Is that one? Is that a good one?
I think that is a good one. Because the best answer in this situation is a preposition for which there is a handy similar preposition.
Right, right, exactly.
And underneath is great because we've still got below.
And beneath, and I mean, you know.
Yeah, although actually, now that I say it out loud, let's get rid of below. I like underneath and beneath better. I like, okay. Those sound better, so let's get rid of below.
Okay, I just don't think people use underneath very often anymore.
Of the three, I think you're right. But no, this is a chance for us to not only save the world from nuclear annihilation, but maybe, you know, step up English speakers in their game, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Get a little classier. Get a little
sure.
Below is for peasants.
Okay.
You know, step up to underneath, the worst slogan possibly ever created. And the new episode title up to this point is going to be one word adjectives. But now, of course, it has to be step up to underneath. Seriously, I'm kind of amazed that the human brain allows me to say those words in that order.
It's pretty good.
It's very weird. But yeah, no, I think because that's the bright side to this global terrorist threat that we are facing here. Is that it gives us a little bit of an opportunity to, you know, not only do we save everyone, but maybe we can, you know, upgrade the English language a little, you know, come up with something. Is there a more useless set though? Because you're right. We got like three of them that mean the exact same thing. So.
Okay. So how about this? You mentioned on and up on. Up on?
Up on.
So are
you're saying, you know, it so it sounds like two words, but I see what you mean.
Yes. Yeah. So do we need both of those? Or is it kind of annoying that you get, like, when you're writing, it's like, do I say upon here or on? Up on or on?
I mean, see, and this is where.
I mean, once upon a time, you kind of need a pawn in that, I guess.
Once on a time. close second for episode title. Close second right there. It's not going to beat out step up to underneath, but once on a time is a close. If this was a two-parter, that's what the other episode would be. See, and this is people definitely use a pawn in places where it sounds stupid and pretentious. But if they didn't have on available to them, like, I like the idea, but I think there's a perversity about me that likes the idea. Like, I think I like an excuse to use a pawn more than I currently can. Or I shouldn't say can, but should. Because right now, you use it in certain places and you look like an absolute tool. And okay, they're like, how? Dude, just on. It's like a who whom thing. Except that in that case, there's actual rules about it. But people are like, a whom just sounds so pretentious or whatever. And a pawn can get that way. But it's like, if you're like, dude, I can't use on or the terrorists win. Then
what about among and amongst?
Oh, fuck it. We can.
Are those actually different? Or
I'm still not sure amongst is a word. Because every time in my life I have used it, it has been wrong. Like, people who know about this shit have told me it's actually just a moan. Like,
oh.
I mean, I do know it's a word. I do know it's a word. It's similar to a while. That doesn't have a space. A-W-H-I-L-E. I'm pretty sure that's actually a word. But as near as I can tell, there's never a place where it is used. Because every single time I've ever tried to use it, it turned out it was actually just supposed to be a while. And the same thing, every time I've used amongst, it's actually supposed to be a monk. But I think amongst is a word. But no, you're right. I would be very happy if we got rid of one of those. So then I wouldn't be confused anymore. So yeah, I do like that.
What about, so is...
I love this. Now, You're getting into this. I like it.
Now,
when the whole world is on the line, nuclear annihilation is facing us. William steps up. He's like, all right, like, let's get hypothetical. Like, a new type of action hero.
All right, here's like, another one.
He promised he'd never play Would You Rather again. But they wouldn't take no for an answer.
Beside and besides. Is besides a thing, or is that just something people say that's wrong? Besides.
I don't know besides. If it's wrong or right. I do know it is used in two very distinct places, and I don't think I would mix them up. So okay. It leads me to believe they have different purposes.
Gotcha.
Because
gotcha.
And correct me if you can, but I can't think of one where I might accidentally use the other. Like, I'm very clear on when I would say one and when I would say the other.
Because although, I've heard people say that's beside the point and that's besides the point.
Yeah, that besides
the point sounds wrong.
Yeah, that second one is some irregardless, you know, cat right. phrase.
Yeah, right.
Bullshit there. Yeah, French benefits kind of stuff going on. Yeah.
Gotcha. Nope, you're right.
Yeah, that's not a real one.
In and into. Into and in.
I mean, if the world's on the line, I think we can get rid of one of them. But I like both of those. I find them handy. I like being able to switch between them. I know when it's like I feel good about those. Okay. Those are some prepositions I enjoy. But I mean, yeah, if I would get rid of one to save one. Probably into. Because in a lot of cases you could just replace it with inside. Or in. I want to do ones that are like, see, because like throughout, I keep thinking of throughout because we could get rid of throughout and not even notice. But I love throughout. Throughout's one of my favorites. I wouldn't want to get rid of throughout. Like, we could super easily work around that.
Yeah.
But I love it. I can't get rid of throughout. It's weird to learn that I have. Actually, it's not weird. I've always known I have certain prepositions that I love more than others. Another easy one. Do you you fucking stay away from Betwixt. I don't think I've ever, I don't think I've ever used Betwixt in my life, but I need to know that it's there if I want to. Betwixt is beautiful. And I don't know if it's different than Between. I'm not even positive it's real. It might just be something Lewis Carroll. But I love it. You can't have it. Like, fuck you, Paris.
Something's going on with your microphone over there.
You got the bit about the terrorists, right?
Not really.
Oh no!
It's like it's like a cat's playing with your microphone is what it sounds like.
So it's feedback. It's not that I suddenly got quiet.
Oh.
Is it that I suddenly Okay.
No, it's like it does. It literally sounds like something is playing with your microphone, and like it'll go off and it'll come back on. I don't know what the deal is.
Let's try this out.
I mean, you're not moving around or anything.
How does this sound?
Terrible.
Does it?
But it's kind of funny. It sounds like you should be singing "Putting on the Ritz."
Oh my goodness. No, I've switched to the headset mic, the actual headset mic.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it sounds like an old timey radio or something.
Our positions go to the front line to fight the Kaiser.
That was great. That was perfect. You should lay down some tracks.
maybe this will just be the thing. Maybe that'll be the new vibe of the show. The whole Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that's just an hour-long newsreel about nothing. We gotta wrap this up, people. So I'm gonna stay on this version because at least this version doesn't cut out.
We could say that we traveled back in time, but we kept making the podcast.
Yes.
And then we traveled forward in time and dug up the old tapes that we buried in someone's backyard.
Yes. We recorded them, buried them, and then came back to our original timeline. Got a reel-to-reel player and taught everybody how to do the Lindy Hop. If you want to get in on this action, write in. Sorry. If you want to get in on this action, write an email to themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, Trex. Be sure to vulcanize your signatures to get the most hectares to the decaliter. Simonize all your children. Write in, but understand that now when you write in, we're gonna read the whole fucking thing. So, you can stretch out a little bit and say what you want to say and include all the swears and the shots at William that I know you've been wanting to put in there but just couldn't use the space. And in particular, let's all go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and make fun of William for his incredibly specific learning disability of not knowing what one-word adjectives are. Join me in that, won't you? Yes. But in the meantime, let's all of us, in our own lives, every Dre, try and step up to underneath.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.